ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. My guest today is Sam Amiri, head of sales at Truax, a digital advertising company known as the pioneers of engagement-based ad model. Sam has been working with Truax since its early days, originally joining the company in August 2008 and working hands-on with its premium clients ever since. Sam, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're so welcome.
For people who are unaware of what Truax is, could you give us the Cliff Notes version of what it is and how it's different from the other technology on the market?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're an advertising company that builds on the principles of true human attention and accountable, measurable engagement. And we've been doing this for a while, since 2007. Our founders, Joe Marchese and David Levy, you know, realized that we had all these incredible promises with digital media. Cutting edge technology brings us new ways to build these beautiful, creative ads, as well as, you know, innovative ways to measure their impact. And we just weren't using them as an industry. So the problem, you know, that the industry has been cutting a lot of corners. And when it comes to understanding and valuing human attention, that's led to a lot of bad practices. So We don't tolerate those bad practices because we build ads that treat consumers' attention like the incredibly scarce, extremely valuable resource that it is. So we are different because we're not afraid to do what's unpopular in the rest of the ad industry in the name of getting it right. You know, when we were talking about viewability and ad fraud years ago, it wasn't really earning us, Truax, a ton of fans in the industry because people didn't want to admit that maybe there was something wrong with all of these incredibly cheap CPMs. But, you know, like ad blockers, it was the same thing. When Joe Marchese would go up on stage at conferences and say that he uses an ad blocker on his browser, even though he runs an ad tech company, that freaked a whole lot of people out. But the reality is that the industry needs to confront its relationship with consumers head on. And, you know, we have to accept that consumers hate ads. In an on-demand world, they're not just in control of their media experiences, but they're empowered with ways to make ads go away. So all these are issues that kind of stem from the industry's lack of respect for attention. And we're really committed to bringing that respect back, not just in our own products, but across the media landscape.
Well, that's really interesting because it really goes to user experience. One of the things we found when we studied young millennial viewing behavior was that 2/3 of them were ad blocking, and experience was such a part of it. And it was linked with piracy. Again, goes to experience access. I'm interested when you say unpopular. I get what you're talking about in terms of viewability and ad fraud. Are there current things where you're sort of bucking the trend right now where other people are like, wow, that, why are they doing that? And you guys are taking this sort of principled stand, or is that sort of just part of your company history and background and you're obviously willing to do it again, but right now people are on team with you pretty much?
No, I mean, look, our approach at Truax is, I don't want to say controversial, but it's different. It's right. Taking away the reliance on these antiquated behaviors that our industry is really comfortable with. And by those, I mean, you know, buying on volume, buying on frequency. That mattered. That was important when, you know, devices couldn't capture attention. When you look at a linear buy and, you know, frankly, just there's no way to measure whether or not someone's eyeballs are on the commercial. So, you know, these systems in place put together these models that said, we have to air this ad 10 times before we know that we have message delivery. Not because it takes 10 times for someone to actually sit through the ad and understand it, but because we don't know where that person is during those 10 exposures. They could be in a different room. They could be flipping channels. That's not the case with digital. We have the technology and the ability to really measure attention. And so at Truax, we encourage anti-waste. So we say you don't need to rely on frequency for message delivery if you can ensure that someone's paying attention. So we can lower the amount of volume of ad exposures if we know that the ad exposure is actually of high quality. And that right there, it's a little difficult right now because when you're looking at these big, you know, upfront buys, they're all still functioning off a rate of change and volume. And
right.
That's kind of, you know, the antithesis of what we're doing.
Right. That's exactly right. Especially as we're heading into upfront season, everybody's thinking about it. So true, accountable, measurable engagement. Could you give me an example of what this sort of interactive ad, what it really means? So if I'm a viewer, how does the ad work such that you are knowing I am truly engaged and not paying attention the way my son does when I ask him to wash the dishes?
Sure. And good for your son for still paying attention. But no, I mean, look, I think, you know, the problem with the term engagement is that it's an overused buzzword that doesn't have one core definition. Everyone defines it differently. And that's really hurt the engagement bucket or category, because, you know, you can buy an engagement from three different vendors and at the end of the campaign have three completely different models and set of results. So we feel that engagement is really an overused buzzword in our industry. And we see that, you know, people have their own definitions that don't necessarily align with one another. So the way that we look at engagement, and, you know, we use attention and engagement kind of synonymously, is we have a few key pillars to defining it. One, our engagements need to be on the consumer's time. So every ad that we serve is consumer initiated. Once they initiate the ad, it takes over the full screen. So we don't think that the advertiser should have to compete with the content on the screen or with other ads on the screen. And for that reason, it's also inherently viewable. And then we provide an element of time and a guaranteed interaction with the messaging. And that interaction really just helps us prove that someone is on the other side of the screen. So yeah, the time spent that we guarantee is right now it's 30 seconds, mostly just because every marketer has the 30 second spot and it's easy to commoditize in the FEP space. We're looking at
right.
You know, different time models and, you know, understanding that with different types of messaging, there are different needs of time. For now, yeah, as long as we feel that the messaging is opted in on the consumer's time, it takes over the full screen, we have enough time to get the message across. And of course, that interaction that just proves that the consumer's on the other side of the screen, we're happy with that as a pretty strong definition of what an engagement should be.
Oh, absolutely. I think that the piece of the engagement piece is really that taking an action to prove you've actually present is so interesting. Where does Truex live? What types of content environments are you currently operating in?
Right. So you've probably actually seen our ads without even knowing it was us. If you're watching an episode of your favorite TV shows on Hulu or on, you know, the network's website, at the start of an episode, you may, as the viewer, receive the option to eliminate all commercial breaks by interacting with a 30-second brand engagement experience at the upfront of that view. So that's our core product, which we call our True Attention Unit. And this really only works within premium environments that have either an ad-supported or subscription-based model, which we can replace temporarily through this opt-in engagement opportunity. Basically, the content on the other side of our ad model has to be compelling enough to motivate a viewer to want to engage with an ad in order to view it. So really, that means long-form video content. We work with, you know, most of the major television broadcasters, Fox, ABC, CBS, Viacom, Turner. We're continuing to kind of build out that presence. But as, you know, a consumer-facing product, right, like, so once the user agrees to engage with the Truex ad unit, we basically remove the rest of the lower quality and overly abundant video interruptions throughout that view. So it proves to be a really good user experience within those publishers.
Question for you following on that. I'm a user, I've signed up and I've eliminated an ad. I then come back. Are you able to make sure I don't see that same high engagement ad the next time I log on? Or, you know, is there some way that, because I know, for instance, some owned and operated websites with some networks where they aren't using this tool, I've seen the same ad millions of times.
Yeah. It's strong.
This is crazy. And so I'm curious how, you know, are you able to do that? Is that one of the things you do?
Right. And, you know, just kind of echoing your sentiment about just that oversupply of advertising. It is. It does drive consumers crazy. And also, it's a waste of money for the advertiser, right? So trying to just get smarter with their ad dollars. It's, you know, we serve all these units ourselves. So we integrate with our publishers and we manage and flight these campaigns internally. So yeah, frequency capping, understanding, you know, exposures across different channels, different devices is all critical to ensuring the optimal user experience and return for the brand advertiser. So yes, we do absolutely measure all of that.
Does that mean that you can also do campaign storytelling? I mean, just another question, if I'm a user and let's say I'm watching Hulu and you work with Hulu and the next time I'm on CBS, well, you know, it's me and I could be served the next ad in that kind of campaign. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. And we've been testing this out in a few different scenarios. One, within one episode. So if you look at a 30-minute episode of content, there are on average 5 commercial breaks.
Right.
And so if we begin the storytelling with that pre-roll placement and the user, you know, agrees to watching this episode with, you know, single advertiser sponsorship. So we say, we're going to reduce the amount of advertisers you'll have to see within this view from maybe, you know, 20 commercials to 5 or 6. Then we can give all of those exposures to that one singular advertiser. And they can use that linear path to basically tell the story, right? So we can use each one of those commercial breaks as a follow-up segment and have what we call kind of sequential messaging throughout.
Right.
And that's something that's really interesting. We're seeing a lot of excitement from brands that do have an abundance of creative.
Right.
And kind of struggle to find a place to house it all.
Right.
We can also do that within the ad unit itself. So, you know, because we have these interactive ad units that kind of serve as almost a microsite on their own, and we don't cut off the experience, we let users decide when they're finished. So we can house as much content within the ad unit as we like and kind of create fun, you know, choose your own adventure type experiences with, you know, different branching logic based off of how I'm consuming or how I'm engaging and, you know, tell a more lengthy story that way as well.
Also, another question, because you are having people either opt in or choose to see a bazillion ads. What do you see? You must have stats on the degree to which once people have been exposed once, have opted in once, their likelihood to opt in again. I mean, do you have those sorts of stats?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So when we launched this product within the full episode player environments in 2014, it was the winter of 2014. It took a while for the audience to really catch on. Also, back then, asking someone to interact with an ad was kind of a big ask. I think people were a little hesitant about this word interact. And I don't think that they were really used to that kind of transparent messaging from advertisers. So it took a few weeks to kind of build that familiarity with our model. But after a few weeks of running within, you know, that first test environment, we saw about 70% of people opting in. So the take rate was about 70% when given the opportunity to see an engagement ad and interact versus sit through long form commercial breaks. It was actually been about 3 out of 4 users preferred our version. It just took a few weeks and a few visits to understand what was being asked of them. And now, you know, now 3 years later, our take rates are consistent with that. They've improved a little bit. It's about 75% of people opting in to the engagement experience when given the prompt. But that 25% of folks that don't opt in, that isn't to say that they're choosing not to. It's that the opportunity to opt in is only on screen for a few seconds so that the viewer experience doesn't get blocked or interrupted. We don't want to be a roadblock to people consuming their shows. Basically, if they don't choose to opt into the Truex experience, after a 10 or 15 second message being on screen, it will just autoplay into the episode and it will give them the standard viewing experience with the commercial breaks.
Question, do you have a take rate statistics for people who have previously opted in and are they higher?
Yeah, I don't have any numbers to speak to, but our audience is habitual, right? Users come back because they understand the experience. They're making several visits to these same sites per day.
Right.
And we're able to kind of manage the frequency and exposures per visitor. So there isn't going to be an opportunity for the user to see a Truex engagement ad every time they watch a show because we have to basically manage frequency and manage the campaign deliveries. And we also have to balance that with the media that our publishers are selling and running. Because you have to remember, each time we run an engagement ad in a commercial break, that's removing 5 video impressions that one of our publishers has committed to selling. So we need to, make sure that we're not taking away all of their inventory.
I don't know. Sorry. No, it's interesting because I was reading that, you know, there's the trend to reduce in linear TV to reduce ad load, but then people aren't getting the impressions that they need. And so then it's reversing. An interesting game you have to go back and forth and play.
It's just all about measurement, right? Because
right,
you're absolutely right. There is pushback on the buy side because there is this concept that the exposure volume is no longer there. But again, that kind of goes back to our whole ethos and thesis here, which is you don't need to rely on heavy ad volume if you know that
right,
someone's watching that commercial or actually retaining the messaging. So for us, it's more about advancing message delivery, getting systems right, in place that really focus on getting your message across as effectively as possible. And then you don't need to rely on these scary massive numbers that our industry is comfortable transacting on still.
Right, right. So your company tailors campaigns toward advertisers and publishers. And what are some of the significant differences in terms of how you operate between platforms?
Right. So we've been looking at this a lot because we're now working with, outside of desktop and mobile and tablet, we're working within connected device environments like Roku and Apple TVs.
Right.
And the experience serving ads on those platforms requires a fair number of special considerations, right?
Right.
People are accustomed and used to watching, you know, this long form scripted content in a lean back living room setting. And you have to take this into account when you consider how you're going to build an ad experience that works, you know, both with the setting as well as the fact that the content is now on demand and it's interactive.
Right.
But what we've seen, you know, regardless of platform, is that user tolerance for heavy ad load has really reached its limits. So you're seeing audiences that are drawn to these, you know, subscription-based or ad-free options. They're spending money to avoid ads. Or those users that are savvy enough, and it's not very hard to do, but and Google's making it much easier with the new plugin for Chrome, but they can just throw on an ad blocker, right? And they can make
right,
it much harder for brands to play a role and connect with, you know, these audiences within the best video environments. And so regardless of the platform, the ethos of our model, which puts the viewer first and truly values their time and attention and relies on quality versus quantity, it's proven to be key in the evolution of viewing behaviors in, you know, these new platforms like connected TV.
Right, right. How, when you're targeting who is going to receive the ads, once you identify the target, how quickly are they served? How quickly is that going to be translated into an ad experience? I mean, how quick do you have to be to figure out, oh, this person is a, you know, woman in this demographic who's liable to do XYZ things, so we're going to serve this ad, it's the right type. And so it isn't this massive exposure because it doesn't matter that I'm within the traditional cohort because I'm the person you actually want to reach because you know so much more about me because we're in this digital environment.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly can you do that?
We do it in real time. We do it right away. You know, again, we have to be very careful with our publishers and make sure that we're not, you know, stalling their viewers to getting to that content. So, you know, Truax, we work with Freewheel as a video server.
Okay.
And so each time that commercial commercial break comes up, our card, our opt-in card is on screen for, you know, between 5 and 15 seconds. And at the point at which the user opts in and says, yes, I want to see an interactive ad instead of these video commercials, that's when we fire our targeting and that's when we determine which ad should be served to that viewer in that exact moment. So it's immediate. It's not retargeting. It's right then and there.
Do you have an algorithm? I mean, how do you do that?
We do it through, you know, just through our own platform. We basically have, you know, our own internal SSP and DSPs and all these fun acronyms. But basically, we flight it all in an automated system with, you know, our own first-party targeting. We collect a lot of information from consumer behavior, from the way that they interact with our ads, the time of day, the environments that they're in. And we create models off of that. We also have, you know, some really good partnerships with, you know, really good third-party data providers. And we kind of bundle those two approaches together and make sure that this is the right ad for the right user at the right time. But if it's not, and we're not, and we can't say that we're going to get it right every single time because people are unique and everyone responds to these types of messages differently, the user is never trapped. You know, that's the last thing that we want to do is, this already is, it's a big ask. You know, we're asking consumers to do something with an ad, which, you know, 5 years ago sounded like the craziest thing on earth because the only time I would do something with an ad was when I got tricked into doing it, right? And so, you know, whenever they want, they can opt out, they can X out of the ad, they can close it. It's just that, you know, we ask them to kind of to check off a few different things in order to access the enhanced benefit, right? So in order to get that commercial free view, we ask them a few small things, you know, to spend that 30 seconds and to interact at least once. If they don't hit those requirements, then they'll still receive the standard default commercial experience throughout the view.
Mm. In an interview on YouTube, you talked about helping brands to empower consumers. Is it simply empowering them to improve their viewing experience, or is there a tie back to the brand itself that they actually are not only proving that they're interacting, but it drives a direct brand relationship?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the whole experience, right? From start to finish, we're empowering consumers because we're putting them in control of their viewer experience, which is new and unique, right?
Right.
You look at commercials as, you know, back in the day, it was the tax to watching television, right?
Right.
You understood
right.
that these commercials are here because I'm watching content that is either subsidized or, you know, free if I have the bunny ears up. That understanding doesn't really exist in digital. So by putting the power back into the consumer's hands and saying, you can control this ad experience, you can control this view experience, they're already empowered because they're choosing what content they want to watch on demand, which is already something new and different.
Right.
But now we're empowering them, you know, rather than having to force bad experiences on them and overloading them with these irrelevant and repetitive ads, put them in charge, right? So if we're delivering a, you know, car commercial to a consumer, have five different models in that ad and allow them to personalize the experience and cater it to their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that every NFL fan wants to drive a truck, right? And so if Chevy has a suite of different cars that they want to promote, you know, we have an interactive canvas, we have the means to do it. So why not put as much creative flexibility and freedom into the user experience as possible? And then, you know, we treat them like humans and not just ROI or sources of clicks. And I think that, you know, our numbers have really shown they appreciate this type of model.
Right. So are you working with the brand's agencies? Because I would imagine the actual type, the ad itself is a different piece of content, correct?
Yeah, so we're not picky, but the majority of our activity does come from the agencies direct. We have some really strong brand direct partnerships, but you know, just the way the business is dealt with in today's marketplace, you know, the agencies are empowered to have these kind of conversations and partnerships with us, and it's been great, truly. And so, yeah, we, you know, because we know that we are a unique ad experience, we want to make it as easy of an experience for the buyers as possible. So we don't want to inundate them with these big creative tasks. So we actually, in-house, internally at Truex, we have a whole internal agency, basically, that creates, designs and strategizes what these ad units should be.
Oh.
We don't do it soup to nuts, but like we're not going out on the street and filming the TV spots, but we're taking the assets that any advertiser would have access to already and then kind of compiling it into our format to fit, you know, the storytelling and the narrative and the interactivity and just kind of all of the advantages of the model.
Oh, wow. That's great. Because of course, otherwise you run the risk of the agency feeling a bit like, ooh, you're invading our space a little bit.
Don't want to do that. No. They're our partners. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. I'm curious. So you operate with the big entertainment brands and those platforms, but you probably aren't operating on the social platforms because they're controlling their own ad experiences. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. And really, you know, you have to kind of, for us, it's important to understand how these audiences are going to be receptive to these types of platforms and messaging. So, you know, you look at a social feed and, you know, the way that users consume it doesn't really fit with, you know, heavy video advertising.
Okay.
So I think it's really important to understand from my side of things, where we're going to find a receptive audience to this type of messaging and to understand that social environments are very different from premium video environments. People visit right. properties for completely different reasons. And as a result, you know, the same ad experiences don't always work across different partners.
Right. I was reading a great blog post that came out of your company. I don't remember who actually wrote it. And it was about the sort of future for advertising being a blend between subscription and advertising, and that the challenge was the technology. But of course, it seems like you actually already have that technology sort of teed up, ready to go. So I'm curious, do you see really creating that, not only just do you want to opt into advertisements, but do you want to opt into subscription or small advertisements or massive advertisements? I mean, do you see it almost branching out that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us too, it all kind of ties back to the same type of problem that we're trying to solve, which is how do we empower consumers? How do we reduce ad clutter? How do we make brands relevant in the experiences and environments that consumers are spending time in? And if we can solve all those questions, then I think it's a win for everyone involved.
Right.
So while right now our big footprint is in the video space, because the model just makes so much sense there. It's one interactive exposure as opposed to five, you know, standard video exposures. But we also have sites in our site list that are content-based, where it's unlocking articles that would otherwise require, you know, a subscription.
What do you think is the most challenging aspect of where things are headed?
Ooh, I like this question. Well, there's a lot that I can say here. So one, the pace of innovation, absolutely. You know, I seem maybe a little redundant here, but you know, I think that we have the opportunity in this industry to really harness technology to empower consumers and to create better experiences across the board. And as a whole, we just haven't really focused on innovating in that capacity. But I honestly think that the biggest challenge is also the most exciting opportunity. At Truex, we talk a lot about how attention is the world's most valuable currency. And we like to put our money where our mouth is. And so we're tackling this challenge of actually finding a way to quantify attention, right? And this is important for our industry. Attention is obviously a big word right now. And I think everyone understands the value of it. But especially as we're starting to work cross-platform, cross-device, we have to find a common way to really measure attention as an industry and not do what we're doing with a word like engagement, where you know there isn't one pure definition of it. But we're really looking at helping quantify attention, you know, and I think it's something that we can really help solve, and I think it's important for the industry.
I agree. I agree, as we're in this attention economy. So thank you so much. We've actually reached the end of the interview. One of the things I try to do if we have time is ask people to play a little game where I just say a word and you do the first word that comes to your mind. And it's really just kind of interesting to see the variation in people's responses. So you ready to play?
All right. Let me put my sensor on just in case.
All right. Okay. Facebook.
Noisy.
Google.
Big.
Snapchat.
Fun. I have a lot of fun on Snapchat.
Twitter.
Great. I start my day with Twitter.
YouTube.
Risky.
Ad blockers.
Wonderful.
Art.
Beautiful.
VR.
VR. VR is kind of scary to me.
AR.
Scarier.
AI.
Right.
The scariest of all.
I'm cowering in the corner.
Oh, okay. Well, this has been really fun. And thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. It's been great.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who helped bring the program to life. First, my friend, Rob Naughton, the amazing voice artist who recorded our open. And of course, thanks to my production team over at Microfame Media. And a big thank you to our guest, Sam Amiri. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience, thank you. I'll be talking to you again next week, right here on Up Next.